if you think that you can't do it, then you've got certainty. And in your mind, you've already given up. What's a really great example? A while ago, one of my goals was to learn how to slam dunk a basketball. Now, my knees are failing me, but I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'4". I used to be really, really overweight in high school. And used to be so overweight that the kids would tease me and call me Captain Blubber. So that gives you some idea. But right now I'm 6'4" and I'm about 83 kilos. So I'm a former shadow of myself. In fact, I found my PE report from when I was in year 9. And I weigh the same now today. I'm age 33 as I did in year 9 high school, I was about 14 or 15. So that in itself is I'm freaked out by that. But the point I want to get across here is when I said I wanted to learn how to slam dunk, with failing knees, 6'4", I immediately thought to myself, even though I had that goal, I can't do it. Now, I had a personal trainer at the time teaching me the skill about jumping and throwing the ball in the hoop. But in my own mind, I always let the limitations of my failing knees and the fact that I may not have got over the whole self-esteem issue, that even though I wanted to do it, I never actually did it. So even today, I can grab the basketball ring, but I don't quite have the technique to throw that basketball in there. So to me, it was an intention and it certainly wasn't a must. Now, if I had have changed my thinking to say, how can I do it? Now I might've said, hey, I'm gonna put a little mini tramp underneath this basketball ring and I'll be able to slam dunk it. It wouldn't be legal in a basketball game, of course, but the question is not, can I do it or can't I do it, but how can I do it? Now, in a real estate sense, no doubt you've got people out there saying, you know what? I can't find a good property deal. So they run around telling themselves a dozen times a day, I can't find a deal. And thereby, of course, they're always looking at the negative. There's no way they're going to find a deal. In the Australian market, for instance, finding a positive cash flow property is very, very hard, particularly if you're just trying to buy it. But if you change your focus away from I can't find a deal to how can I make a deal positive cash flow, then all of a sudden you allow various different scenarios to start flooding in. For instance, in Australia, what you can do is you can buy a property on a large block of land, subdivide the land so you've got a vacant block at the back, a house at the front, sell off the vacant block, take the profit from selling off the vacant block, pay down the loan on the front, and end up in a two-step process with a property with a reduced loan on it that is positive cash flow. Now, that possibility only comes about from thinking, how can I, rather than this property doesn't stack up on the numbers. So these days, when Dave and I look at a property, we don't look at a property as it is at the moment. We look at what we can do to the property to unlock the profit rather than just buying it, remembering that I'm a property investor, not a property buyer. Now, doubtlessly, you could go into any library, any bookstore and see 55 books on self-help. Now, I can give you the best self-help message that I can and help you save reading 55 books, give more time to your property investment, and that's change your focus from what you can't do to what you can do. If you can just make that little step in your mind and start looking at properties, not as they are at the moment, which is a not, but what they might be. I'm not saying buy it based on potential. I'm saying look at it and say, right, what needs to happen to turn this into a positive cash flow property? And then ask the next step about whether or not it's likely that's going to happen. Then you'll find that you have far more properties that potentially meet the criteria that you need to buy it.
And you know what? I hear people already have the built-in story. I can't because blah, blah, blah. They have it. You come up to them and you say, so how's it going? Have you found anything? I can't find a good real estate because of the following 17 things. And you know what? The excuses are for the average. And you don't want to be an average investor. You want to be a good investor. And you want to be looking for solutions, not problems. You know, whatever you look for, you will find. So if you're looking for solutions, you will find them. But if you're the type of person who's constantly negative and constantly talking to yourself in the negative terms where I can't do this and I can't do that, guess what? You were right. You won't be able to do it. So what can you bring to a deal to make it work is so very important to ask yourself, because 95% of the investors out in the world will look at a deal and look at it on its surface and say, I can't make this work. I'll move on to the next one. What I like to do is follow in behind and say, okay, how can I make this work? What are the unique characters and what do I bring to the deal with my knowledge and the stuff I've learned at Rain, etc., that I can make this deal work where others can't. So, like you said, Steve, you focus and change your focus on what you can do rather than what you can't do. And also, at the same time, stop hanging around people who are constantly talking about, I can't do this, and he's doing something different. And you hear the moany voice tones I'm using, because that's exactly how successful people hear you talking. If you're talking with I can't, that you can almost see people, the successful people, rolling their eyes going, well, this person's going absolutely nowhere. And you know what? Something I do a lot is I surround myself with people who are doing better than I and are more successful than I, so that I can always be learning. And I think that's number five.
Yeah, well, certainly when it comes to real estate, it's a common sense situation. And some of the people listening to this might be going, you know, well, this is great. Just tell me where to go and find a property that I can buy and be guaranteed to make a profit. What they fail to understand is that the soft skills behind investing are far more important than the actual property that you buy. For instance, you could get two investors, similar age, similar financial backing, looking at two properties side by side, identical in every way, get them both to buy it, and one will make money and one will lose money. Then you have to ask yourself, why is that the case? And it ultimately comes down to the psychology and the strength of their psychology to what they do. So I would say to people saying, oh man, just tell me more about negotiation, tell me more about how to find a property, tell me more about financing. That's all great, and there is a need for that. But in my mind, what's far more important, what makes me different from other investors, is the strength of the psychology and the skills that I bring to the table. So don't want what I've got in terms of a property portfolio necessarily. Try to pick up on the way that I view property and the skills that I bring to the table. And if you can replicate those skills, it's only a matter of time until you achieve a similar degree of success. So let's talk about that fifth point. Borrow the philosophy from successful businesses. In real estate, it's not about unique intellectual property. You don't have to invent a new product, a new way of investing, a new angle necessarily to make money out of the market. All you need to do is look at what other successful people are doing and apply the same philosophy. Now, if you don't know any successful people and you don't know where to look to what's working in the market, here's a couple of suggestions for you. First of all, go to Rain. Now, if you don't know anyone who's successful at Rain, surely, I mean, when I went to a couple of meetings, Don, you were handing out awards to people who'd actually done something. Do you still hand out those awards?
Yeah, every single month we give out bronze, silver, gold, platinum, and diamond, and 10-year awards and year-end awards, because it's important to celebrate your successes as you go along.
So you want to know someone in the Rain program who's successful? Just sit back and watch who walks up there on stage and gets a big hug or a handshake and a pin. And then once they've walked back off stage, you go up to them and you say, look, I can't offer you much because I'm new at this, but I'd really love just to ask you 10 minutes worth of questions, not about what you're buying, where you're buying, just about what you think is important about you and what you bring to the table, about the skills and the attributes that you have. Don't go up to someone who's successful. Don't go up to Don. Don't come up to me. And whatever you do, ask, where are you buying at the moment? Because that's the biggest question that will immediately flag me in my mind that you're a tie kicker. Because it's not about where you buy. Good deals exist in every market. If you come up to me and said, Steve, what do you think is the most important skill that you have as an investor? Then I will give you my time because you are asking a sophisticated question. So don't ask me who's your banker. Don't ask me who's your accountant, because realistically, it doesn't really matter who my banker or accountant is. Come and ask me, what do you bring to the table? What do I need to learn in order to be more like you? I'm not trying to be arrogant or pumping myself up, but you don't buy 250-odd properties out of luck. You might buy one or two, but you don't buy that many. I must have some degree of skill that you can leverage off listening to a resource such as this that you then need to go and apply. So that's suggestion one. Pump people for information at the Rain meetings, but don't just ask them silly questions. Ask them in-depth questions about who they are and what they bring to the table that makes them different from everyone else. The second place is to look is in the press. You know, there's all sorts of good news stories in the business section and other section about the way that people have had success. And an example is, I noticed that McDonald's in Australia are now really keen to move away from the whole we sell hamburgers and fries to we have salads and we have all sorts of healthy new options. Now, What are McDonald's doing in that situation? They are rebranding themselves to a younger market, to a market that knows that eating hamburgers and fries and thick shakes is bad for you. So let's look at that from a property context then. What are you doing in your property investing that is old school versus what the market is telling you that they want at the moment? Because what the market wanted 2 or 3 years ago is not going to be the same as what the market wants now. For instance, in Australia, for a number of years now, they've had plasma TVs and LCD TVs and entertainment home theaters and all that kind of thing. So what I'm finding is that some of the people who are doing well in terms of selling their property versus some of the people who are just trying to put it on the market and wait for a buyer to come up, the people who are outperforming the market are what they're putting in these home entertainment theaters. So they put in like a big plasma screen with surround sound or a projection and a white screen, and they turn up this room into a whole home theater. And what you have is a buyer coming through, and they've looked at 10 properties before it, and they're all 10 properties are roughly the same. They walk into this one and they go, wow, look at this. And when they get told that they get to keep the home theater for free when they buy, guess what? They're happy to pay a little bit more, or they're happy to buy so that the vendor can sell and move on rather than be stuck with this property that might sit there for another 6 months unsold. Remembering that our market is now flat and a little bit down rather than really buoyant and ramping up. So if you can borrow the philosophy from successful businesses and successful other investors about what are they doing to achieve above market returns and apply it to your context, then that's how you can achieve above market returns in your own right.
And also, if you're just starting out, never be shy. Just get up and ask the question. Ask for help. You know, in our society, we're actually kind of reticent against asking for help because for some reason it has a stigma that, oh, well, you just don't know, then you must be a fool. Here's the reality is that people become successful because they are not embarrassed to ask the questions and they're not embarrassed to stand out. Like the home theater idea that Steve was just talking about, it's like painting the walls a different color instead of that old renter beige that everybody seems to use. And it's constantly learning and constantly being hungry for knowledge and going. And I go to workshops, and I'll go to a workshop that's 2 days long. It's $2,000, and whatever it is. And you know what? Because real estate is such a good investment, I know that no matter what I paid for that weekend, all I'm looking for is one great idea. And I will sit through a whole weekend looking for that one great idea that I can go and then transfer in and transfer onto my portfolio or into how I buy or how I sell my properties or how I rent my properties. And because real estate is, we're dealing in big numbers, I'm always looking for that idea that will just incrementally make me better, like 1% better than I was before or 2% better than I was before, because I know that 2% will translate through my whole business. So always be looking for just the little tidbits. You know, I listen to the Rain CDs even after they're over myself at least once, if not twice, because even while we're teaching and even while the guest speakers are up there, you miss points and you constantly are listening and constantly learning. And I know your sixth attribute is so important, and I am one of the hungriest learners out there. And you're talking about that to be a successful real estate investor, you really have to be hungry to learn. Is that right?